was dark. Good to see everyone this morning. I appreciate you coming out on a cold, blustery day like this. We're going to pick up in our series of Romans. And tonight, or this morning, we're in Romans chapter 6. We'll read the first 14 verses. I've entitled this, "Say What?" And that was another term my generation had. We would say that when somebody would say something we really couldn't believe or we disagreed with. So that just popped into my head when I was preparing the text. So I said, okay, that's probably a godsend. So actually, it's short, sweet, and to the point. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. So the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Father, your word does not return to you void. I thank you for that promise. I thank you for all who are here. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to us, that you will open our hearts to receive your message for each and every one of us. If there are any here today that's never made that commitment to Christ, I pray this will be the day that they will make that decision. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 5, Paul talked about us being justified by faith. And in the context of Romans, Paul was putting to bed some of the arguments that had come up in the church at Rome that in order to be a Christian, you needed to obey the law of Moses. So to speak, they were saying Jesus wasn't just enough. You had to agree to obey the law of Moses and believe in Jesus. Then you could be a Christian. And of course, there was a lot of confusion in the church. The Gentiles were saying, "What's up with this? You know, that's not what we heard." And the Jewish Christians, some of them are saying, "Well, we feel this is what you need to do." And Paul's been the four chapters of this book, he's been showing to the Jews, we couldn't keep the law. Nobody's justified by the law. We are saved by God's grace and His grace alone. And in chapter 5, he begins with, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, as men do, some in the church said, "Oh, I get it. We're not under the law." And Paul said, "No, we're not under the law." And Paul said, "Sin's not imputed when there is no law. Jesus took the law to the cross, had it nailed to the cross. Cool, then we're not accountable for sin." That's what they said. And then they went on to say, in fact, God gets glory because we sin. And it gives Him a chance to show His mercy and His grace. So the more we sin, the more grace He pours on us. And Paul said, "Say what?" This is Paul's answer. Now, he begins by talking about the reality of the Christian. And some of you newer Christians that are here, I want you to pay attention to this morning, because this is what happened to you when you went into the waters of baptism. If you were serious and you came to receive Christ as your Savior and you were baptized, Listen to what Paul says happened to you. This is why this burns me. I'm going to get on my box for a minute. Anytime I hear a preacher or a church belittle baptism, it's like it's an optional thing. You can do it or not do it. It doesn't really matter. The Bible doesn't teach that. It's tied together. And in the early church, when you came to Christ, you were baptized. They didn't say, let's wait a week or two. Think about it if you want to get wet or not. It was understood you were baptized into Christ. And baptism carries a lot with it. We're not going to go into all that today. But I'm going to share with you what Paul shared with his fledgling church about what happened to them at baptism. When we were baptized into Christ, Paul says we are baptized into His death. And he told the Colossian church, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Peter said He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Paul said to the Romans, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Now, a lot of debate over the body of sin. Is that a nature of sin? If there is a nature and an entity of sin, then God created it because He created all things, and my God didn't create sin. Okay? When Paul talks about the body of sin, the Greek word there is soma, and you can see it on prescriptions. It literally means the fleshly body. And Paul said that when you as a Christian are baptized into Jesus Christ, your fleshly nature, if you want to call it that, your sinful nature is supposed to die. One of the commentaries I read said it is if God transports you back into AD 33 and nails you to that cross with Jesus Christ. That's how literally God takes it. Now, we know that at baptism, that's when we make a public confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we want to join Him. We want to join ourselves to Him. But God help us, we don't preach that enough in the church today to the new Christians about this is what's happened to you, you're dead. And I say good riddance. Now, Paul said that God wanted to render the body of sin dead, and the Greek means powerless. Before I was a Christian, I did things that I did not like. And I knew they were wrong, I knew they were harmful, but they had control over me. And when I read Romans 7, that's how I read it. Paul said, I delighted in God's law. I mean, I knew what I was doing was wrong, but he said, I couldn't stop doing it. I remember the sin that I was in had such power over me, it drove me. And I'm not saying it wasn't my fault. I never bought that lie, even when I was a sinner. But the power that sin had over me ruled my life. And Paul said, when we are baptized into Christ, that part of you is rendered ineffective, inoperative, no power. Well, then how come I'm still tempted? Because the body doesn't change when you come to Christ. You change on the inside. You're born again. I don't know how it was for you. But when I got saved, I was in such sin that God did a work in my life, and I started looking at things I'd never looked at before and started seeing them for what they were. I remember the first time I turned KTTS on, 3 days after I came to Christ. I was trying to read a book, and I turned the radio on, and I started for the first time hearing the trash that was coming in that music. I'm sitting here getting hammered because my wife ran away with my best friend, took my dog, and I'm going to pick up an old bar fly. Woo-hoo, aren't we going to have fun tonight? You know? And I'm sitting there going, yuck! So I shut the radio off. I remember thinking, what's up with that? I never used to think pay any attention to the music. For the first time in my life, I started paying attention to what they said. I didn't have a preacher there. I didn't go to church for the first 3 weeks I was saved. I didn't know where to go. And I didn't want to go, to be honest with you. I told God, I'll just be a Christian here at home. It's you and me, God. We got this thing going. And the Lord kept saying, you need to be in the fellowship. So I didn't have an elder or a deacon or a preacher sitting down saying, now, Brother Rick, you need to give up this and that and stop doing this and don't watch that and don't listen to this. Don't go over there. But all of a sudden, the person on the inside of me was different. And all of a sudden I realized I had victory. Did I have the same temptations? You bet. Have I ever given in to them? Yes, I have. I don't say that bragging, but I'm being honest with you. Yes, I have. But see, Paul's saying to the church, look, and I like the Greek. He says, don't you know? And the Greek literally says, are you ignorant? I like that. Paul said, are you ignorant? What do you mean you can be a Christian living the way you want? Are you ignorant? Yeah, but Paul, you said we're under this grace, and that the more sin increased, the more God's grace increased. So therefore, if I sin more, God's grace just increases, and He gets all the glory, and we're both happy. You know, I'm sinning, and God's forgiven me. And Paul said, are you ignorant? You died. The body of sin died when you were baptized. It was rendered powerless, and it means it no longer has dominion over you. You, Christian, not the non-Christian, the Christian, it's not your master anymore. You change masters. Because, see, you just didn't die in the waters of baptism. You came back new. I'll never forget the first church we were in. A couple of the deacons told my wife if I would cut my hair and shave my beard, I'd look more like a Christian. I got saved. I had hair down to here. I had a big old beard. So I cut my beard about where it is now, and I cut my hair to here. Showed up for church, and they weren't thrilled at all. And I looked at one of them, and I pointed a picture of Jesus they had. I said, Sonny, me and him look a lot alike. You going to tell him he doesn't look like a Christian? What in the world does a Christian look like? God starts on the inside, church. That's where He starts. And you know, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me for a couple of years that I ought to cut my hair. He didn't say, He wasn't worried about it. And Paul said, you die. You go up here to Mansfield Cemetery, not one of them people are under the power of sin. And that's the analogy Paul's using. He is trying to get a point across to the church. A dead man can't sin. A dead man doesn't sin. A dead man is not under the power of sin. So if you're a Christian and you're under sin's dominion, Paul said, something's wrong. You haven't died. Is it a one-time thing? I found it interesting that the commentators in the Greek said, Paul's not talking about a one-time thing. He's talking about a constant thing that the Christian must strive for. Because, see, you still have the fleshly body. You still have the temptations. I still like the things I used to like. I can still be tempted with those things, but they don't have power over me. I don't run around saying, I don't know how I'm going to keep from doing this. My want-to has changed. I know that's hillbilly, but that's the best way I can explain it. My want-to has changed. I don't want to get high. You know, I don't want to do the things I used to do. And Paul said the reason that is because just as I died in Christ, I've been raised to a new life in Christ. It's all in Christ. So when God frees us from the bondage of sin, He does not expect you to turn around and put yourself back into it. Can a Christian do that? You sure can. We'll talk about that next week's sermon. You can be a born-again child of God, and you can turn your back on God and go right back into sin if that's what you want to do. And Paul tells us you choose to do that. Now, there can be different reasons you choose. You know why it's so important, Christian, for you to be here on Sunday when you can? Because the Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He said we're to be here to encourage one another, to spur one another on to good deeds. You need to be here. Not because I'm a great preacher, but because we're gathered here to worship Jesus Christ, and it helps us to remember who we are. And we're accountable to one another. I watch how I act in town, not just because of me, because of you. I don't want people saying, well, boy, you know, I've met their preacher. That must be a terrible bunch of hypocrites. Am I perfect? No. I'm getting close. But I'm not. But I'm a new creature. You know, that was the biggest thrill. I knew 3 weeks, I knew something's happened to me. And I wasn't perfect. I still had the temptations. I still wanted to get high, but it wasn't like it was. It just wasn't this drive. So I was reading the Word, and I read one day when Samuel told Saul, God's anointed to be king, and he said, when you leave here, God will give you a different heart. And it said, when Saul turned around to walk away, God gave him a new heart. And I read that, and that hit me right between the eyes. I said, oh, now I understand. Now I know why I'm different. I've been different all my life, but now I'm different than I was. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus Christ. I'm giving Him the glory because I wouldn't go back to that life for anything. So, Paul is saying that those who have died have been set free from sin. And what the commentator said was that we have left allegiance to the first Adam. We've been reading about him. He's the one that got us in all this mess. And we're with the second Adam. That's how you become a new creature. You're not under the Adamic bloodline anymore. Lineage. You're under the bloodline of Jesus Christ, Christian. That's what God came to do. When we're baptized into Christ, we're raised to a new life. And this is by the glory of God. Not by your doing, it's by His glory. That's what happened to you at baptism, Christian. I bet you, some of you didn't know that. God help us. Some of you were told, well, just do the best you can. And you're still going to sin, word, thought, and deed. And God understands that. So, you know, try not to get too carried away. Don't get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Give me a break. The farther you go with Christ, Christian, the more the world ought to lose its luster to you and its shine and its appeal. And you ought to see Jesus Christ as your life. That's what He wants. John said, all who did receive Him, speaking of Jesus, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of man, but the will of God. It's not your pedigree. It doesn't matter where your background came, where you came from as a Christian. What matters is where you're at now. God calls you child, son and daughter, even when you fail. You know, in 30 years, I've done some pretty stupid things. I've done some very sinful things as a Christian. I have backslid. But I never one time had God say, well, I'm done. You're not my kid anymore. You've just brought shame to my family, and I don't even want anything to do with you. I found Him waiting there with open arms like the father that He is, saying, come on. Let me get you up. Let me dust you off. I've been taken to the spiritual woodshed a bunch. There's a path in the spirit world worn from me walking behind the woodshed and the Lord saying, let's go. John says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through the faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him. God did that. When you obeyed and you agreed to enter into this covenant with Him through Jesus Christ, and you enter the waters and you are immersed by baptism, God circumcised you in the heart. Now, if you understand the old covenant, that made you one of His. You were marked by the Holy Spirit. Paul said that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit to guarantee that what He's promised we're going to get. And you know the great thing about that is even though we live in this sinful world, we're not part of it. And we don't have to be part of it. We don't have to think like the world. We don't have to act like the world unless we choose to. Where do you spend your time, Christian? You know, think about this. Do I spend more time watching TV or reading the Word? Do I spend more time reading worldly books or reading God's Word? Do I spend more time on my cell phone texting or praying? You are what you eat. When the devil attacks, he waits for your weak points. And especially baby Christians, your habits are to go back to what you trusted in before you came to Christ. I'm speaking from experience. I'm warning you from experience. Don't do that. Because you place yourself in Satan's arena, and he will gut stomp you if he gets a chance. If it's not for the grace of God, he will kill you in that arena. You don't want to do that. But I understand those temptations. But Paul said they don't rule you anymore. Sin has to almost like ask your permission. It doesn't come up and just say, do this. Sin says, oh, come on, man, why don't you do this? Don't you want to do this? It says that God took the ordinance, the record of debt, the English Standard says, He took the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, that's the law, He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. God did that. You and I can't do that. He did it. I mean, imagine this. God says, I want to redeem them. I want them back. But here's the law, my law. And God gave the law and He couldn't call it back like the Medes and the Persians. When they made a law, when the king ordered a law to be made and he sealed it with his ring, even the king couldn't change the law. And God's that kind of a God. And He gave His law and said, look, this is in the way. Nobody can be justified by these commands. They're good commands, but nobody can be justified. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son in the form of a man. And he's going to obey this law and keep it. And then he's going to be nailed to a cross. This law and all of its requirements will be nailed there with him. It's out of the way. Now I can have mercy on those who come to me through my son. Don't let somebody feed you that line that there's a lot of different ways to get to God. You'll get there, but you ain't going to like it when you get there. There's only one way to get to God and to be reconciled to Him, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. It's not Muhammad. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not Pastor Russell. It's not even Jack Van Impe, if you will. It bothers me. Some people say, well, I go to church at home. I sit and watch these TV preachers and I send my money there. Really, how many of them ever come see you in the hospital? How many of them could you call and say, man, I'm really having a down time. Could I visit with you? Now, if you want to support another ministry, I'm okay with that, but the Bible says don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. God has called us together for a reason. And one reason we need to be together is to hold one another accountable and remind one another, you're a new creation in Christ. I don't know how many Christian men I have counseled, don't repay evil for evil. And I've had to remind myself of that. I'm a new creation. I'm not that old man anymore. He's dead. Good riddance. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. God did that. You don't have any bragging rights. The Bible says we don't as Christians, and we forget that sometimes. We look down our noses at people, think, boy, I'm glad I'm not raunchy like that. Well, you were before you came to Christ. You still don't have a right to throw rocks. According to Jesus, you don't have any right to throw rocks at folks. What you and I are supposed to do is carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's what the church is called to do. That's what you're called to do. If you've been saved, God didn't save you just to save you. He saved you and said, now I'm going to make a disciple out of you, and now you go make disciples out of other people. And you offer them that forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I remember the preacher I worked for, he used to delight in telling me, because he thought it was his duty to tell me I was going to hell. You know, I'd show up for work with alcohol in my breath. I had a hat back then, and he said, where'd you get that hat? I said, that's my going to hell hat. That's what I call it. That's my going to hell hat. And everybody thought it was funny. Rick's got a going to hell hat. And he'd say, you know, you are going to hell. And I'd say, yeah, I know. It didn't win me. It was those people that come around and said, yeah, you're going to hell, but Jesus Christ loves you. You know, the preacher that broke me was the one that came to the house one day, and he said, I told you I wasn't going to talk about Jesus, but he said, I got to tell you about Jesus because He loves you and I love you. And he said, you need to know about the love Jesus Christ has for you. And I thought, wow, how do I refute that? I wanted to throw him off a roof at work, but I knew I'd go to jail. But that's what happened to me. I had Christians that I knew coming out and say, I've been praying for you. Boy, you've really been on my mind. I go, yeah, you talk to God. Well, it worked, Christians. Because when you're talking to God, He's talking to the person you're praying for, and you can't run away from Him. And I was so scared of becoming a Christian because I was going to have to give up all this stuff I liked. I was going to have to give them a weed and my Jim Beam and my PBR. You know, you can tell I had a problem. And when I came to Christ, I looked back and thought, why was I hanging on to that stuff? It was killing me. Jesus talks about what happens at conversion, and he's an authority on this. He said to the Jews, he said, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming, and it's here right now. He said, right now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear will live. I was reading that one day, and boy, I got a hold of that and said, wow. Jesus was saying to those Pharisees, you're dead. You are dead to God because of your sin, but if you'll listen to me, you'll have life. See, I used to be dead spiritually, but I'm not now. I'm alive spiritually. My body's still dying. And one day when it dies, God promised He's going to give me a new one with no sin, no temptations. But see, my body hadn't been redeemed yet. Paul said that in Romans. Our bodies haven't been redeemed. That's why we're still tempted. But I hate that teaching that says, well, there's just nothing you can do about it. That's a lie. The Bible just told you what you can do about it. You're not under that power anymore. Christian, dig into the Word and find out what God's Word says to you about the life you have in Christ. Get your nose out of Days of Our Death and start reading the Book of Life. Man, I enjoy TV too, but you're not going to learn about Jesus Christ in television. You're not going to get closer to Him by watching the tube. You're going to get closer to Him by getting into His Word, by talking with other Christians, by kicking things around, by meditating on His Word. You need to meditate on the fact, especially you new Christians, you're not the same person. That's why you feel different about things. That's what did it for me. You know, I didn't walk on water. I've heard guys, well, boy, when I got saved, I smoked 2-pack cigarettes a day, and I just quit, never touched another one. I can't say that. I smoked for 15 years after I got saved. Fought and struggled, but I don't smoke anymore. That's God's doing. That's not mine. But my testimony and your testimony are two different things. But one thing I want to tell you, if you're a Christian, you're not under the power of sin anymore. And don't let the devil or a preacher or anybody else tell you that you are. You are not under the power of sin. The Bible says you've passed from death to life. Now live like it. Yeah, but I just feel so bad. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where it says if you're a Christian, you'll never feel bad again. When you're born again doesn't mean you're just going to have a great day all the time. Some Christians walk around looking like they've been drinking vinegar with bad teeth. Just snarling all the time. They used to scare me. Yeah, I need to get saved so I can look like that. No, thank you. I'll just have somebody hit me in the face with a baseball bat and disfigure me. I'll tell you what, church. We don't know what we have. And I don't mean that as a put down. We don't think about that. Why do Christians sin? Because they're not spending time in God's presence, in His Word, in prayer, getting that strength. They're not coming to the church to fellowship with one another. You are who you run with, Christians. I'm going to advise you of that. I've known Christian men that are meth heads, and they come to Christ, and the first thing I tell them is get away from your friends. Get away. Because they don't care that you claim to become a Christian. It matters who you hang with, church. If you're a new person, hang around with new people. I remember one guy said, yeah, but Christians are all nerds, man. Well, not all of them. I'm a Christian. There's some of us that are cool in your aspect of being cool. We can talk to you. Just as Christ died to sin once for all, Paul says we're to consider ourselves as having done the same. That word I found out in the Greek, really consider is an accounting term. So Paul says, what you need to do is take into fact Christ died for you and He was raised by the power of God. You were buried with Him in baptism, so you died to your old self and you have been raised by the power of God. And he said, you add all this up and the math says you're a new person. I like that. Paul says, add it up. In other words, if you think I can be a Christian, live any way I want to, it don't add up. Doesn't add up, pardon my English. It does not add up. And that's what Paul's saying to the church. It'd be like a bookkeeper saying, it doesn't add up. Paul's saying, look, it doesn't add up. Will a Christian sin? Yeah, they'll sin. Should a Christian live in sin? Never. And here when Paul said, what should we say? Shall we sin that grace may abound? The Greek says, may it never be so. Paul said, church, don't you understand you're new? Doesn't say you won't be tempted. But you're not the same person you were. And that's God's work. That's God's doing. How does He do it? I don't know. But I'm sure glad He does. I am so glad that He does. Paul said we're no longer to yield ourselves as instruments to sin. And again, the commentator said instruments means weapons. Paul said, don't yield your instruments, your body. That's what he said. Do not yield your hands, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your nose. Don't yield them as weapons of sin. Yield them to God as weapons for righteousness. In other words, I yield myself to God. He uses that as His weapon. So see, you can choose who you want to wield yourself to. Yield yourself. Wield. Well, you wield weapons, but you yield yourself. You can choose who you wield yourself to. You know what I mean. I've seen Christians that become puppets of the devil. And I'm not saying they were never saved. But they choose. The Bible talks about Satan taking Christians at his will. That's sad. And you know, it scares him, I think. It probably, he hopes that you don't figure out who you are in Christ. People think it was this magic formula when Jesus resisted temptation in the wilderness, and it wasn't. Jesus set an example for us as born-again Christians. Satan comes and said, hey, why don't you do this? Well, the Bible says not to. It wasn't that the Word of God's like a cross with a vampire. Jesus said, look, the Word says this, I believe it, therefore I'm not going to do it. And you know, James said Satan flees when you do that. There's nothing else he can do. He can't knock you down, make you do it. When we stand our ground as Christians and say, my Father says this and I'm not going to do it, he has no more arguments he can use on you and he has to leave. It's when we play with it that we get in trouble. Well, I know the Bible says, but... Satan loves that. Oh, but. Well, there's my end. Oh, okay. You know it says, but. Well, then he'll slip in there like he did to Mom and Eve and say, well, did God really say that? And you start theorizing and philosophizing and you get in trouble. Just be like the Lord. Say, yeah, this is what God said. And I'm not going to do this. I'm going to close with another passage from Ephesians. Paul said, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know that's where you're at right now? Spiritually? I had read that one of the problems these people had is they believed in Satan and demons, and they believed in demons as lesser gods, and the lesser gods were in the heavenly realms causing them a lot of trouble, and they were still scared. These are gods. You know, Paul, they can really make life rough for us. And Paul said, Jesus is ascended to the very heaven of heavens, which means they're under Him. And he said, guess where you're at? God placed you there with Him. So just as they are under His feet, they're under yours. I'm not trying to get Pentecostal on you. That's why Paul said to that church of Corinth, I am convinced that God will bruise Satan's head under your feet very shortly. What a statement. Do you know who you are in Christ? Sometimes we forget. I want to suggest to you this morning, if you're a Christian and you're away from the Lord and sin has got some dominion over you, don't make resolutions. God's the one who breaks the power. You come to Him as His child and you say, I can't do this by myself, and God will say, I'll do it. Then you obey Him. you cut off whatever ties it is you have with that sin and get away from it. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, you've never called out to the name of the Lord, I invite you to do that this morning. The Bible says even though you're dead in trespasses and sins, He will forgive you and He will make you a new person. Why don't you stand with me, please? So what was Paul's answer? Should a Christian continue in sin so grace could abound?
No.
No. We're to cut off all ties. If you need to come to the Lord this morning or you need to talk to somebody, why don't you come up here and sit down while we sing the song of invitation and we'll be glad to visit with you. Said Kathy Easley had her cancer surgery January 30th or December 30th and was doing fine. Asked that you still remember the family of Leela Kinneman. She was that 30-year-old that went in for procedures and passed away at the hospital and left three children and a husband. So if you think of the Kinneman family, be remembering them in prayer. Also, I'm going in for an angiogram tomorrow afternoon, and they're going to find out what's there. They just said my test was abnormal, and I thought that ain't nothing strange. I've been hearing that all my life. But be praying for me and Judy. She's going to have to go up there and sit with me all day. That God will guide the doctor's hands, and they're going to find out what's wrong and fix it so I can get back on my feet, so to speak. Also wanted to tell you, there is no church tonight. I talked to some of the elders. It's supposed to be cold and blustery and very windy tonight, so we don't want you getting out in that weather. Next Sunday night, God willing, we're starting a class on discipleship. Sunday night at 6 p.m. This will probably go on for a couple months, and I want everybody that can to be here, whether you're a baby Christian or you've been in Christ for 50 years, make a point to come to church Sunday night, because we're going to get down to shucking the corn. We are going to talk about what the Word says about being disciples. Jesus called us to be disciples. Men gave us the name Christians. But disciples is a very pointed word and has a lot of implication with it. And please, if you can at all, don't watch Downton Abbey. Well, you can still get home time for Downton Abbey if I don't get too long-winded. But come Sunday night, if you can at all. We're going to do a discipleship class. This is for everybody, for me, down to the newest Christian we got in the room. So make a point to be here, if you will at all. Brother Gary, would you mind closing in prayer for us?